I'm not sure how you start off your new year. I'm not sure, you know, the New Year's Eve, a lot of times we'll have a tradition on a New Year's Eve. Cheryl's and my tradition is watch the ball drop, give each other a kiss, and hopefully make it to the bed before I fall asleep. This year, I almost made that true, other than the part Cheryl woke me up about 5 minutes before, 5 seconds before the ball dropped. And I was still in the chair, I was still sitting up, I still had my shoes on, but we lived out that tradition. So I don't know what your tradition is and how you start a new year and you ring it in. But sometimes we spend a lot of energy ringing in the new year, but how do we really start a new year? And I can be very driven. But I've learned in my life that being driven isn't always a good thing if you don't know where you're going. I can be driven and I can drive into a swamp. Or I can be driven and I can navigate a highway. Or I can move down the path of life. And so I have been driven before and ended up in a very negative spots of my life. I shared on Wednesday night that one time I got so angry at this big bull that we had that he was out in the middle of a field and he had just destroyed the neighbor's landscape and a lawnmower and he turned everything over. I was so driven to get that bull back in the pasture that I started out across the hayfield with just my feet, which was fine until we got dead center of the hayfield and the bull was also driven. He outweighed me about 1,600 pounds. And so I realized that being driven is not always a positive thing if you don't keep your sense about you to know where you're going. Now, the story ends just quickly. Cheryl rescued me with a Chevy 1500, which did outweigh the bull. But being driven doesn't mean I can go where I need to go. So it is not against my tradition, and this is the first time really that I share this, is to really sit down and say, what am I doing in my position, or what am I doing in life? And really visiting a job description or my own job description and just say, is this what's going to guide me? God, is this still you driving me or leading me down this path? And so there's 12 things really that I look at this past week and plan and conduct worship services and develop sermons. That's one of the things that I want to be driven, but I want to be driven toward that. I want to be able to meet the 52 times, and I want to be able to have some good, solid teaching when we're here together. Lead the church in effective programs to fulfill the Great Commission. You know, if I don't keep my eyes focused on something, I just go. And I need something to revisit. I don't know if you do this. I don't know if you revisit kind of your primary functions of your job or the primary functions of your life. But then I lead and demonstrate effective ways to witness. I don't want to be the only witnesser, but I'd like to be the lead witnesser. And I think that that's what God wants me to do, to be among people that need Christ and be able to be the lead witnesser. And I know that as a pastor, sometimes I work with those that are walking in the faith or striving to walk in the faith, and maybe with less for those that need Jesus for the very first time. So I need to make sure I keep that as a goal. And number four is visit and minister to people in homes and nursing care facilities and hospitals and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Now, that's one of the things I'm not as good at. We have chaplains here at New Life, and they do much of that. But I know that it needs to be done. It's one of those things that's very intense. Number five is this. Conduct counseling sessions, perform weddings and funeral services. I need to do that. Work with volunteers to carry out the mission and purpose of the church. If you're ever wondering what Ed's doing, this is what I'm endeavoring to do. These 12 things is what I'm endeavoring to do, and as 2019 has come alive in my life, it's my plan for 2019 to stay active in these things. I don't want to end up in the middle of the field with an 1,800-pound bull, but I want to go through the field. Work with volunteers to carry out the mission and purpose of the church. Cooperate with denominational leaders and ministry concerns. Manage along with leadership conflict issues inside the church. communicate on a regular with the congregation or with you on a regular basis. However, we do that through Facebook and through the announcements and just through text now and again. Through, I want to be in constant communication with each and every person, which is challenging at times. Ensure sound and compliant financial management practices. I need to make sure I don't go to jail. I'm looking forward to a prison ministry, very effective in the future perhaps, but I don't want to be when I'm just an orange stew. And then all while maintaining a vital and wholesome personal relationship with Jesus and maintaining a proper priorities at home with my spouse and children. So you know that 12 is heavy on me at times. But if I don't know the 12, if I don't know those things, then all of a sudden I'm just driven and just going through life, and all of a sudden I'm at the end of 2019. I don't know where I drove. And I need to drive, and I want to be driven by God. And as I revisited those this year, this past week, as I revisited those 12 statements, number 4 really stuck out to me this year. And it's to visit and minister to people in homes and nursing care facilities and hospitals, et cetera, et cetera. There's a big difference. And as I unpack that this week, there's a big difference with visiting and ministering to. And so I'm going to unpack that some more throughout the next months and say visiting is one thing. And I think we need to visit with one another. And we just need to have good conversation. But there comes a time when there's ministering that needs to be done. And to have those two things in the same statement, I think, kind of tries to equalize those things, and it's not equal. Sometimes you need a visit. Sometimes you need ministering to. And sometimes I want to shove ministering to when you just need a visit. And I need to really unpack that in my life, but I have done that. I have walked with people. I have ministered to people in very heart-wrenching situations of their life. And it's not only the current situation, but the years of situation that are flooding the person's heart and mind and soul. Did you get that? It's never just the current situation. When we're ministering to each other and we're ministering to people, and something is a hardship in their life, or some struggles in their life, or something's happened, and all of a sudden it's years of flooding on top of that come back, and it's not just that one situation. It's many situations are all impounded on them or pounding them at that time. And so ministering to people in those times is not just dealing with a situation. I have heard so many times, I wish I would have, or I wish I would have not. Did I say that right? So many times in those situations, I hear people say, I wish I would not have done that. It's not the situation that they're in, but it's the life situations that are building up, and all of a sudden they're saying, man, I wish I wouldn't have done that. I wish I would have done more of that. Over and over and over and over again, I hear people say, man, I wish I would not have done that. I wish I would have done that. I have never heard anyone say, I got to be honest, I wish I would have earned more money. I wish I would have drove a fancier car. I wish I would have lived in a bigger house. I have watched people pass from this life to the eternal life. I've really watched people do that. And the moments before that and those moments, I listen to people and I minister to people and I hear over and over and over, I wish I would have told my wife I loved her more. I wish I would have done this for my kids. And all of a sudden, I start hearing this heart of regret, I think it is, this heart of regret that I passed by these chances in life, or I didn't take the chance in life. I was driven in life, but I drove right past things I wish I would have done now. And all of a sudden, I'm slowed down, or all of a sudden, I'm coming to the end of my life, or I'm in a very negative situation, and all of a sudden, I have time to think, and all of a sudden, I'm starting to regret those missed opportunities in my life. No doubt, regret is real and is powerful. Regret is this, is a feeling. Feel sad, repentant, or disappointed over something that has happened or been done, especially a loss or a missed opportunity. I got to make sense on this. This is the first message, because in 52 weeks from now, I'm going to revisit this message and I'm going to ask us how we're doing on it. Regret is powerful. I've watched it. I've watched it in my own life. I've watched wishing I wouldn't have done things that I did do. My own heart is, man, I missed the opportunities to do the things I should have done. And I was so driven, let me say it again, I was so driven that I drove right past those things that God wanted me to do. And now my heart is heavy with regret. It's heavy with a repentant or a feeling sad or disappointed over something that has happened or been done, especially a loss or missed opportunity. I wonder if we can be proactive so at the end of our day, at the end of my week, at the end of my month, at the end of my year, at the end of my life, that I will not be weighed down with regrets. I'm telling you one thing, I'm going to be driven, but I want to be driven toward where God wants me to be. I am not taking my foot off the gas pedal. I don't need a brake on my vehicle. God tells me once in a while, at least you need to shift it down. I have no plans on letting off, but I have no plans on driving my own direction, because I have no desire to come to the end of my life and realize I drove by many things that God wanted me to do and being inundated with regret. I do not want regret to harbor itself inside of me. I wonder if we can be proactive so at the end of my day, at the end of my day, at the end of my week, at the end of my month, at the end of my year, at the end of my life, I will not be weighed down with the regrets. The things that produce regret, this is on the screen, the things that produce regrets also have a wounding effect on those around you. You will end up with regrets and someone else will end up with a wound. Does that make sense? And so as you're laying there, or as you're in this situation, or as God has got you in a contemplative moment in your life, and all of a sudden you start realizing, I drove by many opportunities. I drove by it. I drove by it. I drove by it. I wish I would have done that more. I wish I would have let go of that unforgiveness 20 years ago. Why have I been carrying that for all this time? Why did I say that to my brother? Why did I say that to my parents? Why did I say that? Why did I do that? And if you don't have those, well, lucky for you. I have those. And maybe the counsel is you got to let it go. Thank you, Captain Obvious. Have you ever laid in bed at night with this negative thought that you can't get out of your mind and just say, you know what, you need to let that go? You just need to slap yourself sometimes, because that is the truth. But how do I do that? I want to be proactive in my life that I don't drive by those opportunities that God has for me, so that I'm not laying in my bed 100 years or 50 years from now or 30 years from now or 10 years from now on death's door saying, man, I wish I would have. I want that to end at 53. I want to live different. I want to be driven, and I don't want to drive by. So I have to have a whole host of regret, and someone else is going to have a whole host of wounds. Because everything I drove by that God wanted me to be a part of or say or let go of helps someone else as well. I want some regret relief. I've entitled this message, Regret Relief. There are already regrets stuck to me. Yes. And I've got to deal with those regrets, and I will deal with those regrets, and we'll talk about those and how to do that. As we unpack this over the next few weeks, we will talk about how to get past the regret that you have. But we need to start doing something so the regrets stop now, so we can deal with them from the past. But we don't have to deal with today's regrets next week. And so, yes, we may have to stop the ball from rolling down the wrong side of the hill. And it may be laborsome, and it may be intense, and it may take a lot of time. I'm just going to tell you, it's going to take a lot of time. But living with regrets takes a lot of time as well. And it would be really interesting if we could get all the young bucks and the young ladies around here to say, you know what? From now on, I'm going to live where God wants me to go. I'm going to live and do what God wants me to do so I don't have to be 40 years old and living with a bunch of regrets. And I'm telling you right now, some of you are driving down a path that you're going to end up down that road. That's just a prophetic word to you. Stop it today. You're 15. You're 16. You're 18. Listen to a 53-year-old that was 15 one time. Come on now. Stop. Walk with God. Watch what He does in your life. This world's got a plan for you. It's to run you over a cliff. God is so that you can have life and have it to the fullest. You will not regret walking with God. And I will not stop being driven. I know I got 53 years. I got big regrets, baby. I got big regrets, and I need to walk out of them. But I'm telling you one thing. They're going to stop because I don't plan on walking by what God wants me to do today. And so when I'm 83 years old, I'm going to need a good memory so I can remember my regrets from 30 years ago. And so this is not a message to flood our souls with a huge amount of regrets and, oh, I wish I wouldn't have done that. Stop. Just stop. Because if we get weighed down all the way to the ground with that, we can't hear how to be living that life that God wants us to live. And so we can live do I think we can live a life without regrets? Yes. Do I think I have thus far? No. Am I going to do that? Yes. And I want to start unpacking this, and I can't unpack it all in one message. I tried. I had like 85 pages of notes. Normally I have 5. And I know the Bills nor the Steelers are playing today, but I still didn't think you wanted me to go through 85 pages of notes. So can I just open the can? Can I just turn it around? Can we just start reading the label? Do you want to live a life that you can come to the end of your day, at the end of your week, at the end of your month, at the end of your year, and at the end of your life saying, I don't have any regrets? And I don't think you need to be arrogant to say that. I don't think you need to be blind to see that. I think that's a possibility. But it's going to take us steps with God to make that happen in our life. I want to turn to Psalm 33. And as I unpacked this week in my own life, and as I went through and I tried to determine and work through determining, how do I live this life that God has for me? How do I live this life without regrets? And this is what he says, sing joyfully to the Lord, you righteous. It is fitting for the upright to praise him. As a believer in Jesus Christ, you look really good dressed in praise. That's what that says. You are designed to be dressed in praise. You are designed, listen, new lifers, listen, those who have a relationship with Jesus Christ, you are designed, praise fits you. You look good dressed in praise. I don't know if you look good in jeans. I don't know if you look good in a dress. I don't know. I don't look good in a dress, but I don't know what you look good in. But as a believer in Jesus Christ, you look good dressed in praise. It fits you. It's your size. It's your color. He said, I want you to know you look good. Sing joyfully to the Lord, you righteous. It is fitting for the upright to praise him. Praise the Lord with a harp. Make music to him with a 10-string lyre. Sing to him a new song. Play skillfully and shout for joy. Just so you know, that means turn up the volume. That's what it means in the Hebrew. I'm telling you, it does. I looked it up. Would you stop playing the praise of God just so barely your family can hear you? Turn it up, for crying out loud. You look good in it. Turn up the praise. Turn up the praise. You look good dressed in praise. I've designed you to be dressed in praise. I want you to be dressed in praise. Play skillfully. Do it well. Get better and better and better and better at it. Turn up the volume. Do it, man of God. Do it, woman of God. Do it, daughter of God. Do it, son of God. Do it! So we need to praise him. If we're going to live and see, this is a, we're going to unpack this in the weeks to come, because this is one of the 85 pages of notes I have. What's in here? But can I just open it up? Can I just say, if we're going to live a life without regrets, we need to praise his name. We need to live a life of praise. We need to live a life of praise. And you'll get so tired of seeing these. For the next 5 or 6 weeks, these cartons are going to be up here. And each week, we're going to open one up, because I can't just tell myself, you need to be a man of praise. Thank you. How do I do that? But I believe that if you want to get rid of the regrets in your life, then you need to start, I need to start living a life of praise. I need to praise God's name. Why? Because I look good dressed in praise, because God's designed me to be dressed in praise. And so if God's going to navigate me, we need to get dressed. When I go hunting, I don't put on sneakers. I get dressed. I get dressed for what I'm doing. God said, wait a minute, don't take your foot off the gas, but you're naked. You're never going to make it through life. You need to dress in praise. Can I just open this wardrobe and let you know how to get dressed with praise? Because that'll lead you in a life that will not lead to regrets. One of my favorite scriptures in the past 3 days, I realized that what I ever read last was my favorite. I don't know if I have a memory of a goldfish or if I just, I see. You know, they tell me a goldfish forgets what he saw every 30 seconds or something like that. Sometimes I wish I was a goldfish. How about it? Everything's new. It's like, woo! Hey, where did that shell come from? Ah! And they're floating around a gallon jug. And they're happy. Why? Because they can only remember 30 seconds at a time. That's a gift from God. I don't know about you, but I got a better memory than that, and I need to help with that at times. We're going to talk about this in the weeks to come. How do I praise his name? How do I get dressed in praise? How do I be a man and woman of praise? Because I don't plan on taking my foot off the gas pedal, but I don't plan on ending up in the middle of a field with an 1,800-pound half Angus, half Holstein bull who does not like humanity. Ezra says this, with praise and thanksgiving they sang to the Lord. He is good! His love endures for Israel forever! And all the people gave a great shout of praise to the Lord. With a heart of praise. Can you imagine that? With a heart of praise, mom and dad entered the house. I don't know what's going on, and I've had a bad day, but I'm telling you right now, God's love for this family endures forever. Can you imagine that being sung in our family over and over and over? My corn crib blow over, but God's love for this family endures forever. Sing it with me. God's love for this family endures forever. I'm telling you what, you can walk into your house and you can kick the dog every single day. And you'll think that's just the way to walk in the house until you see your son walk into his house and kick his dog. And then you will regret kicking the dog. Are you with me? Can you imagine walking into your house every day and praising God, and all of a sudden your son or your daughter walk into their house and they praise God? No matter what's going on, they praise God. Can you imagine what that would do in that family? It's not only do you look good in it. The byproduct of that is exponentially more than we can ever imagine. We're going to talk about that more in weeks to come. And you can see how many points I have in this message. Four more. A life of praise will leave us with a day, a week, a month, because I've realized that if I can't end the day without regrets, I'm not going to end my life without regrets. I realize that the end of my life is a whole bunch of days. You know, I just was talking about some of this with someone this week. When do we stop calling how many days old we are? Well, she's 10 days old. Then all of a sudden, it's like she's a month old. Then all of a sudden, it's like 6 months old. And then it's like 12 months old. And somebody will hang on 14 months. You know, she's 18 months. And then it's like, oh, and then all of a sudden, you're just two. Then all of a sudden, you're just three. What happened to those 365 days? I want to start everybody doing their age and how many days they old are they are. I'm 1,655 days old. I don't know if that's right or not, but I'm a lot more than that. Could you imagine that if you counted your, can you imagine counting your life in days rather than years? Would it be more attentive to being every day? If you rung in every day, not just every year, can you imagine being excited for tomorrow as you are for 2019? I think a life of praise will leave us with a day, a week, a month, a year, and a life with little to no regrets. And as we move through this, you're probably going to see me draw a line through little. It will leave us with no regrets. Verses 4 and 5 say this: the Lord, the word of the Lord is right and true. He is faithful in all he does. The Lord loves righteousness and justice, and the earth is filled with his unfailing love. Just grab some of this. The word of the Lord is right and true. Hang on to that for a minute. The word of the Lord is right and true. Verse 6 says this: by the word of the Lord were heavens made, their star hosts by the breath of his mouth. The word of the Lord is powerful and productive. Are you with me? It is right and true. It is powerful and productive. He gathers the waters of the sea into jars, and he puts the deep into storehouses. The word of the Lord is organizational. This is an aside, and we'll get to that here when we open up this box, but just let me say it. We need to embrace his word. If your world is chaotic, you need to embrace the word of the Lord, because it's not. Continuing in the passage, let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the people of the world revere him, for he spoke and it came to be. He commanded and it stood firm. The word of the Lord has authority. And verse 10 says this: The Lord foils the plans of the nation. He thwarts the purpose of the peoples. But the plans of the Lord stand firm forever. The purposes of his heart through all generations. The word of the Lord carries victory in it. Are you with me today? The word of the Lord is right. The word of the Lord is true. The word of the Lord is powerful. The word of the Lord is productive. The word of the Lord is organizational. The word of the Lord has authority. And the word of the Lord carries victory. We need to embrace his word. Embrace to welcome and take advantage of something eagerly and willingly. Oh, do I have to read the Bible again? You got to be kidding me. It is the powerful, right, true, productive, creative, authoritative word of the Lord. And we're whining about reading it. And I really love to get into discussions with, what translation should I read? I don't care. Read it. If you want to read the King James for crying out loud, get your TH practiced up and read the King James. If you want to read the New Living Translation, read it. If you want to read the NIV, read it. You want to read another translation of the Bible, then just do it. It is the word of the Lord. And he said it is powerful, and we're going to embrace the word of the Lord. Embracing the word of the Lord. Push the button. Embracing, living and embracing God's word life will leave us with little to no regrets. Are you with me today? All right, here we go. I told myself, I said, don't take a long time. Just uncap it. Just turn the boxes around. Just turn the boxes around. I stood in front of the mirror and said, listen, Ed, just turn the boxes around. I said, I'm going to try, God. He said, well, you're not listening to me. Just turn the boxes around. You get to talk about these things for weeks to come. But just turn. Praise his name. A life of praise will leave you with no regrets. In embracing his word, that life that embraces this powerful word of God will leave you with no regrets. You will be driven and you will not drive by what God wants you to drive by or stop at. Continuing in the passage, verse 12 says this. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people he chose for his inheritance. This is a little more, I think, a little more. You really just kind of slapped me right in the face this week. Because I kind of knew these things. But all of a sudden, God is challenging me to step out there a little more. And this is what he said to me. He said, none take God to be their God until I take them to be my people. And of all the things, none take God to be their God. You did not take me to be your God until I took you to be my people, to be my person, to be my son. But, and of all the things that I could have chosen, I chose you. Does that make sense today? God says, of all the things I could have chose in all of creation, I chose you, Richard. I chose you, Texas. I chose you, Dave. I chose you. I chose you. Peter says this, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God. You know, and we're going to unpack this, and I'm excited to unpack this. Rejoice in his choosing. I want you to rejoice in that he chose you. I want to learn how to do that better. You know what? I need to learn how to do that better. God is choosing you, and I want you to rejoice in his choosing. A life of rejoicing in his choosing will leave us with a day, a week, a month, a year, a life with little to no regrets. We need to rejoice in his choosing. We'll unpack that. Around the 1st of February, 13 through 15 says this, for from heaven the Lord looks down and sees all mankind and his dwelling place, from his dwelling place, he watches all who live on earth. He who formed the hearts of all, who considers everything they do. I don't know if I feel good or kind of convicted over that. God says, I see everything you do, and I still chose you. No king is saved by the size of his army. No warrior escapes by his great strength. A horse is a vain hope of deliverance. Despite all its great strength, it cannot save. But the eyes of the Lord are with those who fear him, on those whose hope is in his unfailing love, to deliver them from death and to keep them alive when times get tough. I.e. famine. We need to know his strength. We need to know his strength. If I can know his strength, a life of knowing God's strength will leave us with a day. Listen, why? And let me just open them. Can I just crack that box a little bit? Because I think I'm driving right by things I think are too hard for me to do, and that is right. I need to know God's strength. and I need to, this needs to be fixed in my life. This need to have victory over it, and I don't think I can do it. You're right, you can't, but God can. We're going to unpack that some more. And if you drive by thinking you can't do it, which you're right, and you drive by it not relying on God's strength, I'm telling you what, that's going to produce a regret in your life. We need to know God's strength if we're going to live a life with no regrets. The final one is this. I'm on my last page. See, doesn't even finish out the page. We wait and hope for the Lord. He is our help. That's good. I'm telling you, if we're living this life, we're waiting for God to move. Just so you know, I'm not out in the, if I'm living this so far, I am not out in the middle of a field with an 1,800-pound half Angus, half Holstein, disgruntled bull. We wait and hope for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. In him, our hearts rejoice, for we trust in his holy name. May our unfailing, may your unfailing love rest upon us, O Lord, even as we put our hope in you. We need to step his way. We need to step his way. And I wrote those down, and God was challenging me with that, and all of a sudden, I started to look down. I said, praise his name, embrace his word, rejoice in his choosing, know his strength, step his way. And God says, that's the perks of walking with me. You want the perks of walking with me? Here it is. We're starting next week. We're going to open this box. Because I have no intentions of slowing down. But I have every intention, and I turn 54 this coming week, of living the next years, whatever God gives me, regret-free. Stand with me today. God, thank you. Thank you for your love for me and us as individuals, as a body. Thank you that you love family gatherings. Thank you that you can see your people. Thank you that you look down from heaven and you only look down. I don't even know how omnipresent God looks down. You're here, God. But you know us and you see us, and I thank you so much for that. And Father, I want to live and experience the perks of walking with you. And I know I need to be a man of praise. And Lord, as I unpack that in my own life and just share next week what you've taught me this coming week, how to be a man of praise, how to wear praise, how to wear something that you have designed that fits me. I've wore clothes before that didn't fit me. I wore pants that I tied up with bailer string. I wore shoes that squeezed my feet. But God, you promised that I look good dressed in praise, and I can't wait to unbottle that next week in my life. Father, thank you for these steps. Thank you for Psalm 33. Thank you for what it's teaching me and what it will teach us. Father, we're leaving here today. We're leaving here today. And may we make a commitment. Say, you know what? I'm not going to regret this week. I'm not going to regret this month. And I'm not going to regret this year. And I do not want to lay at the end of my life in regret. Father, we're going. Time has come. The bell has rung. It's time for the church to leave the building. We're going to get in cars and trucks and vans and SUVs. God, I promise, I pray that we don't argue on the way home. For crying out loud, help us not argue. Help us to look at each other and say, we're going to do this together. In the name of Jesus, here we go. We're going to do this together because this family is not going to regret this week. or this month or this year's life. So Father, thank you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Have a great day.